Welcome to Fairbanks First Assembly podcast. We hope this message encourages you and blesses you. For more information, please visit our website at fbfirst.org.
We're in part three of our series called Divine Direction, and I've been loving this series, and it answers the number one question I'm asked all the time is, Mark, how do I know that I'm doing the right thing? How do I know that I'm doing what God wants me to do? How many of you guys have ever asked that question? You want to make sure you're doing what God wants you to do, you're where you're supposed to be. And that's the number one question a lot of people ask, because how many of us know we want to be and do and become who God wants us to become and do? And 2 weeks ago, we talked about that we need to know the who before the do. God is more concerned about our relationship with Him. And I think I said it this way, God is more relational, God's will is more relational than directional. That God's will is more relational than vocational. It's not, God, do you want me to be a doctor or a lawyer or a teacher or a mom or a dad? The answer would be, God says, I'm more concerned about the type of doctor you are and the type of lawyer you are, the type of parent you are, than if you're that. Not what we do, it's who we are. And last week we talked about the wisdom to discern. How do we understand, how do we have the wisdom to make good decisions? Today, we're talking about how to trust God in the process. We live in a culture that it's difficult to make decisions. But how many of you know the decisions you make today determine the stories you tell tomorrow? Yeah. Right? And so if I was to go paragliding to this afternoon because we have a day off or whatever, and I was to enjoy myself, my decision to go paragliding would end up being a story I would tell because I made a decision. But we all make decisions, and those decisions make us. And so when we talk about this, how to have divine direction, how to make wise decisions, how to trust God in the process, we live in a culture where people are taking longer to make decisions. And some of the older folks in here would know that because they've had their kids living with them a little longer than maybe some of the older folks lived with their kids. Why? People are, and part of the reason is because people are a little bit more indecisive, but it's more than that. It's because there's this illusion of perfection out there. And we, you know, the perfect home and the perfect marriage and the perfect job and the perfect, everything has to be perfect. In fact, I think we over-program our kids today. There was a day when my mom said, go outside and what? Play. And now, kids might not want to go outside and play because they got 12,000 apps on their iPhone they're using for you. And so we take them from this to this to this, and the kids don't have, I learned how to use a skill saw without my parents knowing, because my parents said, go out and play. I learned how to play. I started building stuff and cutting stuff I shouldn't have cut. But nowadays, in fact, when I was a kid, because my parents' generation and my grandparents' generation, you know, it was what? Get a good job or get a good education so you can what? Get a good job. Now, it's, we ask our kids, well, what do you like to do? And so, if you ask the younger culture today, what are the three highest goals in life? They'll say, I want to do something I love. How many of you know? How many of adults in here know there are a lot of things you do at work you do not love? Raise your hand real high. Okay? All right. How many guys were lucky to get one option at the cafeteria as a kid? Raise your hand real high. Now we got 12,000 options. Or now we just don't serve lunch because it's like it's too hard to figure out what people want. Okay? I want to do something I love. I want to do something that makes a difference. Have you know sometimes your job, you don't think you're making a difference for anything. And thirdly, something that makes lots of money. And this is what they're saying. It's important to talk about God's will and God's decision and how to make decisions, because some of us in here have a hard time making decisions because, and the younger generation, they're saying the reason why it's hard for them to make a decision is because if they choose this job, they're scared that maybe they'll find out it's not the one, they're going to miss the opportunity of the better job that comes down a month later. So it's the paralysis of analysis. Let's just wait till the perfect thing happens. And can I just say something? There's no such thing as a perfect job. There's no such thing as a perfect every marriage. There's no such thing as perfect life. And sometimes we have to realize God is more concerned with us and Him than what we do. And then sometimes we have to ask for wisdom, but ultimately we have to make a decision. But today I want to talk about trusting God in the process of not knowing everything. And if you have your Bibles with you, if you would turn with me to turn with me to Acts chapter 20. But I want to unpack. We're going to talk about Paul. And Paul was a man who persecuted Christians. His name was Saul. Saul was persecuting Christians. We see in Acts chapter 7, he's there, and he is in charge of murdering, killing Christians. And he's a part he watches Stephen be stoned, and he's holding the coats of those who are stoning Stephen. In Acts chapter 8, he's on his way to Damascus to kill more Christians. And on his way to Damascus, what happens? He's blinded. He's on a donkey. He's blinded on the donkey. And in his blindness, check this out, he's completely blind. And in his blindness, God speaks to him. Now, I want to just throw an idea out there. Could it be if you're at a place right now where you feel totally, completely blind and you don't know what tomorrow looks like, you might be the candidate for God to speak to you? It's when he had no vision physically, God gave him spiritual vision. So God speaks to him. He begins to, after some time of training in the desert, away from everybody by himself, 3 years in Arabia, he goes back to Jerusalem. He's introduced to the church. They're scared because he was the guy that used to murder him. And then he goes off and has tremendous success in missions. When I say success, by Acts chapter 19, it says there was myriads of thousands upon thousands of believers. And the word myriad in the Greek language, it's the highest number the Jews knew how to write. It was uncountable. There were so many believers. And he's there taking offerings to go back to the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem. He feels compelled to go back to Jerusalem. And this is where we pick it up. In Acts 20, here's Paul. He's been on a missionary journey. He feels compelled. And let's pick up in Acts chapter 20. And it says this, and now compelled. Say compelled. How many of you guys have ever been compelled by something? How many guys have ever been on a diet? Raise your hand real high. Okay, none of us. Two of us have been on diets. The rest of you, boy, I need your discipline. How many guys have been on a diet, but when you go to a movie theater, or maybe you walk through the Anchorage airport and smell Cinnabon? And how many guys have ever been compelled? And drawn. Okay. All right, let's go back here. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem. He's on his way back on a missionary journey. And why is he going? He's compelled by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. Listen, not knowing what will happen to me there. Does that sound like he understands God's will? He doesn't have everything figured out, but he knows he's supposed to go. Why? Because the Spirit is compelling him and drawing him. Not knowing what will happen to me there. Verse 23. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. Let's pause here for a second. How many of you guys want to embrace a God's will when it means hardship? How many of you guys have ever wondered if it was God's will because you're facing hardship? Well, maybe I missed God because it's been awful difficult right now. Can I just say hardship is not a great litmus test for whether or not you're in God's will? You might not always have it be easy. And this is, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying the good news of God's grace. Now today I want to talk about how do we trust God in difficult circumstances? How do we navigate His will? How do we trust Him in the process where we feel like God's taken me somewhere, but it's been difficult? And how do I trust Him in the process of divine direction? The first step, number one, if you're taking notes, or you can all, if you have YouVersion on your phone, you can follow along with live events in YouVersion. But number one, the first step in trusting God's process is the Spirit's prompting. Friends, look at me. We need the Spirit of God to prompt us. Now, let me explain that. He says it this way, and now compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem. Paul had something on the inside of him that drove him forward. He was compelled by the Spirit. In the original language, it's deo honuma. Deo is compelled, bound, or wrapped. He was bound. He was wrapped. There was something that pulled his emotions a certain direction. They began to tug him some way. Deo honumo. Ho, we get that from the North Pole. That's what Santa Claus says, okay? Ho. It's not a Greek word, sorry. Deo honumo. Pneuma means spirit or breeze. He's bound and compelled by the Spirit of God. Friends, look at me. You know what we need in our life? We need to slow down long enough to hear God's voice for ourselves and be wrapped up and bound by what the Spirit is breathing and speaking to us. Some of us make decisions because it just intellectually makes the most sense, but sometimes it doesn't always have to make sense when God is speaking to us, and we do it anyway. Deo honumo. I'm compelled by the Spirit, and I feel drawn. He says, I'm compelled to go to Jerusalem. Friends, how do you know we can make all the intellectually right decisions and miss it? We need to hear God's voice. Anyone here say, Mark, I need to hear God's voice? There are times when I'm raising my kids, I need to quiet myself and say, God, I need some deo honuma. I need to be compelled by your Spirit to know what to do here with my kids. Anybody here ever had to ask God for some wisdom and the Spirit of God to speak to you? That's why I'm so excited about, and I've walked through it now for the second time, but the life group series we're doing called Divine Mentor here in a few weeks. Next week, we launch our life group and start promoting it, and you'll have brochures or a chance to sign up for next week. But it's Divine Mentor where we're going to teach, our whole church will have a chance to learn how to hear God's voice through His Word, through His Spirit, because we need some Deo Honumo coming on. We need to be compelled by His Spirit and make good decisions because the Word of God is compelling us and drawing us, even if difficult circumstances are coming. I had a Deo Honumo moment when I was in Kenya about 3.5 years ago. I was speaking at the Assemblies of God National Kids or National Youth Convention in Kenya, Nairobi, and there were several thousand students from Kenya there. And they're there, and I'm the speaker, and my daughter's with me, and a couple other friends of ours from Alaska, and we're there at the conference, and they're receiving a 2 million shilling offering to finish a youth training facility for youth pastors in Kenya. And 2 million shilling offering is like $20,000 American. And at the time, in my prior job, I'm raising $40,000 to buy a bus for someone in Kenya for a Bible college. And I'm thinking, I'm buying a bus for $40,000, and I could finish a building for $20,000. It makes sense to build a building more than a bus, but that was just me. And I'm sitting there, and I started hearing God say, Mark, why are you raising money for buses when you can raise money for buildings and you can begin to change nations and countries. And I'm sitting there in that, I'm frustrated in the front row, knowing I'm going to speak in about 10 minutes or 15 minutes. And I'm going, I'm standing there going, I felt compelled to say, I got to pastor a church because I want to do great things for God through missions. I'm there, and I got home, and I went to my superintendent, my boss, the superintendent of the Assemblies of God. I said, Bill, I feel compelled. And this church happened to be the church that was open at the time. And I said, I feel compelled to put my name in. It doesn't make sense because, you know, I've got a great job over here. I love it. But I felt compelled by the Spirit. I heard God speak to me. And there was a draw to do something different than I was doing. Why? And I was following what? The Spirit of God. What's the Deo Honumo moments you have where God begins to speak to you and you feel drawn to help someone? You feel drawn to upgrade. Maybe some of you feel drawn to upgrade your boyfriend. Sorry, men. Or maybe you feel, Deo Honumo, it's time to join a life group. Or maybe you're here going, it's time to write my book. Or maybe you're here and you're realizing it's time to change your life. There's that call where you feel, and you don't know why, but your knower knows that your knower knows you're supposed to. Anyone know what I'm talking about by your knower knowing? And Paul, sometimes we talk about God's will, but sometimes you just have to know that you're drawn, and there's this compelling of the Spirit's compelling you, and you don't know why, but you're supposed to do it. And it doesn't always add up. But it lines up. The Deo Honumo moments. And my prayer for you would be you'd have some Deo Honumo moments where the Spirit of God would compel you and speak to you. And you'd find yourselves making decisions, divine direction, because God's speaking to you. And it doesn't mean it all makes sense or you have it all figured out yet. But Paul said, I'm compelled by the Spirit and I'm going to Jerusalem. But he knew. Actually, he didn't know. He did not know what would happen to him there, but he knew the Spirit was warning him that bad things were going to happen. But he went anyway. Why? Because he was compelled by the Spirit. The first, trusting God in the process is we have to sense he's leading. We have to follow his Spirit's prompting. Number two, this next step is to understand there's certain uncertainty. Now, any melancholics in here? Anybody who has the personality of a melancholic, does anyone? No, see, if you take the four main personality types, you got the cholerics. A choleric says, it's my way. You ever met a choleric? They're bossy. You ever met a bossy guy or a bossy gal? Cholerics are my way if you describe them. Melancholic, it's the right way. A melancholic, a choleric would say, hey guys, let's set some chairs up in here, and they start telling people to set chairs up. And the melancholic's like, there's like 2 inches difference between the chairs, and they're not straight. It's got to be the right way. And melancholics sometimes having a hard time making decisions because it has to be right. It has to be the right decision. And then you got the sanguines. It's the fun way. They show up and say, guys, there needs to be music on if we're having a chair setting up party. And they usually show up and their clothes aren't ironed. They show up late, but the party starts when they get there because they are the party. And then you got the phlegmatics. They do all the work because they're like, as these guys are fighting and she's concerned about how straight they are and he just wants to have music on, I'll just do my work and be quiet. It's the easy way. Now, different personality types have different challenges, but certain uncertainty isn't always good for some of us in this audience who like to have it right the first time. What do you mean I got to be certain that there's uncertainty? I don't know if I like uncertainty. I'm the type of person that says, the more uncertainty, the better. Let's go. Motion brings clarity. The steps of righteous people are ordered of God. So let's step out. What happens if there's a 10-foot hole? We'll fill it with rocks. That's what we'll do. Certain uncertainty. Sometimes you have to trust him in the I'm going to Jerusalem, Paul said, not knowing what will happen to me there. But I'm going. How many of us in here would say, I'm not going anywhere till I know it's all planned? I'm glad Joseph and Mary weren't melancholic, okay? They never would have gone to Jerusalem if there was no room in the inn. Okay? But see, show me the details. And it's almost like, anyone ever watched the movie with Jack Nicholson, A Few Good Men? You want the truth? You can't handle the truth. Okay? You want the details? I think God's going, you can't handle all the details. There's certain uncertainty. Have fun. Go for it. Sometimes it's not all figured out when you start. That you got to understand the Spirit's prompting, follow that, and there's certain, I'm going there, but I don't know what it looks like, but I have certain uncertainty. But the Bible says your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my, what? Path. Now we want an LED like spotlight. A lamp. You know what a lamp is? A lamp for what? My feet. The next step. Sometimes we're all figured out. And God says, my word is a lamp unto your feet and a guide for your path. You don't always have all of it figured out, but the steps of righteous people. You might say, Mark, you know, I've had people say, well, Mark, what's your plan for the church? You're going to buy Kmart, and now you're building a parking lot. I don't know what God's plan is for this church, but I'm just going to wake up and tomorrow be obedient to the next thing he wants us to do. Well, we'll go to 4 services. Maybe we'll go to 5 someday. And I had someone say, why would you do that many services? I'm thinking, because there's a lot of people who don't know Jesus in our city. That's why. Well, that's a lot of hard work. I'm thinking, well, you know, the guys out here digging up our parking lot, they're working hard. How many of you guys work hard every day for a living? No, quit working hard now, people. Certain uncertainty. You just do the next right thing. See, my plan, friends, God's plan is rarely about always what it looks like way out there. God's plan is that I serve him and you serve him today. And we're obedient to the Spirit's prompting today. The steps of righteous people are ordered of God. But there's certain uncertainty. But I love, we said this last week. The Lord says, I'll guide you along the best pathway for your life. I'll advise you and I'll watch over you. I'll guide you. I'll advise you. I'll watch over you. I'll guide you. I'll advise you. I'll watch over you. Like a kid on a bicycle. God's back there going, it's okay. There's certain uncertainty and you're not sure if you're going to fall, but hop on the bike and start riding it anyway, or you'd never learn how to ride the bike. Steps. See, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So here's Paul. I don't know. I'm compelled by the Spirit. Why are you going there if you know there's hardship waiting you? Why would you go there if the Spirit warns you there's danger? I don't know, but the Spirit of God compels me, and I'm going to do it. Why are you homeschooling your kid? Because the Spirit of God has put it in my heart to be the primary educator. Why do you tithe? Because the Spirit of God spoke to me. That's why. Well, what happens, you know something, I'm not living my life with all the what happens. I'm going to be obedient today, and there's certain uncertainty, and the next step in trusting the process is predictable resistance. In other words, I know, he says, in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship are facing me. How many of you would want to wake up and have the Spirit of God speak to you in your ear and say, I have an encouraging word for you? It's called hardship in prison. Now, as I studied for this week, I read lots of commentaries. It wasn't just that Paul was having to face hardship and trials. That when he wrote this was the same time he was writing 2 Corinthians and confronting major problems in the Corinthian church. Not just that, he's got the care. In fact, the Bible says it this way. It says that he was 3 times shipwrecked. He once spent the night, a day in a drift at seas. He traveled on many long journeys. This is what he said. I faced danger from robbers and rivers and robbers. I've faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from Gentiles. I've faced danger in the cities. I've been in the desert. I've been on sea. I've faced danger when men who claimed to believe, who were believers, but they weren't. I worked hard and long and during many sleepless nights. He was hangry. Listen, hangry. hard and long. I was tired. And he says, and I went without food. That's called hangry. Anyone here ever been hangry? Hungry and angry and tired all at the same time. It's like, come on. Why is there that, you know, okay. I've shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. So he's on his way back to Jerusalem, leaving the churches in Asia Minor that the numbers of Christians exceeded what they even could write down on paper. It was the biggest number they knew. Myriads. And he's going, I know I'm facing hardship, but I'm going to do it anywhere because the Spirit prompted me. In other words, I'm trusting the process that God is going to be with me, whether it's easy or hard. What does that mean? That means some of us in here that have avoided making decisions, we've avoided them making decisions for a long time because we want the perfect decision and the perfect circumstance. There is no perfect circumstance. Sometimes you have to follow the Spirit's prompting, and you have to be aware that there's uncertainty, and you have to be aware that sometimes there's resistance, and that doesn't always mean it's not God's will. I had someone ask me once, I interviewed somewhere, and the guy says, well, what do you think? I said, well, I think I have a piece about it. You guys ever use that word? I have a piece about it. He goes, do you think, and then he asked me this question, do you think that's a really good litmus test for God's will? Well, you know, he'll give me the peace that passes all understanding, that guards my heart and my mind. So peace is important. He goes, do you think Jesus had peace when he went to the cross? He's a guard of Gethsemane, sweating drops of blood. Take this cup from my lips, Lord, but not my will, but yours be done. You think God's will always means it's going to be easy, Mark? And I thought, oh, well, then maybe I don't have a peace about working with you. I don't know. Maybe I'm not coming. No, I didn't say that. But how many of us make decisions based only upon things that seem good and seem like all the decisions were paved, the path was paved? How many guys want to know sometimes God's will isn't always easy? If you're in a difficult circumstance right now, don't just interpret your circumstance and say, well, it must not be God's will because it's been very difficult lately. Sometimes difficulty is right in the center of God's will. Why? Because God's will is you serve him right where you're at. You worship him right where you're at. It's not what happens to you that's important. It's what happens in you that's important. Resistance isn't a sign you're out of God's will. It might be an indication you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. Why? Because how many of you want to know there's an enemy of your soul? There's someone named Satan. There's something called spiritual warfare. Why is it spiritual warfare? Because the devil wants to make it easy on you doing God's will, or make it easy on you serving him in a culture that doesn't embrace Christ very often. No, he wants to make it difficult on you. And sometimes that resistance is not from God, it's from the enemy. But you keep going anywhere because the power inside of you and behind you is greater than the challenges in front of you. How do we trust God in the process? Spirit's prompting. Number two, certain uncertainty. Thirdly, predictable resistance. Predictable resistance. And lastly, there should be an uncommon confidence. Now, how do you know when difficult times happen, the first thing that sometimes leaves us is our confidence? Anyone here ever been insecure? Anyone here ever had a challenging circumstance happen and you start thinking, did I do something wrong? Is it me? Okay, but listen to what Paul said. However, I consider my life worth nothing. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task. The Lord has called me and given me the task of testifying the good news of God's grace. He's walking through all of this because he's thinking, if one more person finds Jesus, I'm confident it's all worth it. I'm going to finish my race. I'm going to complete my task. I'm moving forward. But when, now Paul wrote this while he's talking about this while he's writing the biggest portion of the New Testament. He started churches all over Asia Minor and Europe. Paul just says, I have confidence that I'm going to complete my task because I'm going to testify about you. In other words, he trusted God and obeyed. Remember that old song? Anyone ever sing that song? When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us what? Still. And with all who will trust and what? Obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but trust and obey. I've got confidence that he's with me, even though I know there's challenges. And then it says, then in fellowship sweet, we'll sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says, we will do. Where he sends, we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust the process. So if you're in a difficult circumstance today, don't make your posture, God, get me out of this situation. Make your posture, God, what is it you want to get out of me in this situation? God, I'm compelled by your spirit. And I know there's challenging times coming up. There's certain uncertainty and there's resistance and challenges. But God, I'm confident of this, that I'm going to testify and serve you and declare your glory to everyone on my path, even though I'm going through a personally difficult time. Friends, the goal in life is not for our comfort. The goal in life is to share Jesus with the world around us and to live for him in the process. That's the goal. God never says, if you make a decision to serve me, it's going to be easy the rest of your life. That's what I want to do today. Would you stand with me all across this place? And would you bow your heads all across this place this morning? Lord, I thank you for these folks. I thank you for your friends, God, my friends. God, I pray that we would trust you in the process, God, because we know that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask, think, or imagine according to your power that works in us. Help us trust you in the process. Every head bowed, every eye closed, you're here. You say, Mark, it's been a difficult time, and it seems like there's been a lot of resistance. Would you pray for me today? Anyone here? That's me. I've been in this difficult season of resistance. It's been a hard season. Anyone else? Wow, there's a lot of hands. Anybody else? Say, that's me, Pastor. That's me. You want to hear it say, Pastor? I want the Deo Honuma of the Spirit. I want the Spirit to prompt me. I want to hear his voice. I want to sense his tugging on my heart. And I want to know I'm doing what the Spirit wants. Anyone raise your hand and say, Mark, I want to be sensitive to his Spirit. I want to be sensitive to the tugging and leading of the Holy Spirit. The Deo Honuma. I want to be compelled, wrapped by him, and compelled by him. Go here and say, Mark, I just want to surrender, even though it might be let's sing this song again. If you've been walking through a difficult time, just as we sing, I want to be led by your Spirit. God, I've been walking through difficult seasons, but God, I need your enabling strength. I'd love to pray with you at the altar. This is sing this song to me. Thank you. I want the Spirit to compel me in this season of my life. I want to know the direction the Spirit's taking me, even though it's going to be difficult. Your own way. Right now, just say, God, I want you to lead me. Just begin to ask you. Holy Spirit, would you guide me? Paul was bound. He was in chains with the call of God before he was ever in physical chains. He was led. Lord, I pray you lead us. We want to be Spirit-led. We want to be guided by your Spirit. We want to be bound by what you want us to do and be. And God, if we're walking through difficult times and circumstances, may we draw our strength off of you. May we walk in confidence that even though it's difficult, we're still declaring who you are to the world around us, testifying about the grace of God. God, meet the needs of those today walking through difficult times. And they just sense and know that there's more difficult times in store. Would you comfort them and lead them and give them confidence today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Next week, I can't wait. It's of the series, I can tell you, next week's, I'm so excited about next week as we talk about the faith to start. For some of us, God's gonna kind of push us out a little bit to step out and trust him when we can't trace him. So if you feel like the series would help a friend next week, maybe they're stuck and they need the faith to start, would you bring a friend next week? Have a great week, guys. God bless you. God loves you. I love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. We'll see you next Sunday. Have a great week.